I'm just here to tell you that's still not worth it. It's not a thing. Like, that is not the thing you should go after.
Hey, you love what you love.
Yeah.
Can't believe it. I can't believe it. That is the nerdiest thing I maybe ever heard. In this podcast for sure, and maybe in life. I don't know.
I was going to go with, well, I'm pretty sure that the T-800 is the one that Arnold Schwarzenegger was. And so, like, you beat that by a mile. Crushed it.
Hey, I love it.
Oh,
I love it.
Oh, my God. Hello, everyone. Welcome to 1000 Crazy Questions, the podcast. I'm your currently sane host, Houston Pierce. This is a podcast where I have at least one guest who we can ask a series of crazy would you rather questions. We can do the psyche break, guests, support topics and questions maybe should have been explored. I did my questions from you, listen from a list of 1,000 questions. You can submit questions to Jetsons at me at onekeycrazyquestions@gmail.com or at 1,000 Crazy Questions on Instagram. That's 1000 on Instagram. And I'm also on Twitter, but I forgot the username because Twitter kind of sucks. Your username will get a shout out, or if your question makes the episode and it gets submitted, please rate and follow 1,000 Crazy Questions, Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, Spotify, and all those other good places. And yeah, that's it. As fast as I get the intro out the way, I'll talk more about that maybe later at the end of the episode. But let's get into the guest this week. This week we have authors and long-term friends, Jay Watson and Kyle Wiltshire. Oh, crap. I said it right, I think.
You nailed it. You nailed it. Perfect. All right.
Cool. If you guys want to introduce yourself to listeners and tell them what you're about.
My name's Jay Watson.
No, oh, sorry. I should have said Jay. You want to introduce yourself?
You're good. You're good. My name is Jay Watson. I live in Nolensville, Tennessee. I've got two daughters that are twins, and they're 18 and going to college here in a little bit. So that's pretty much the focus of everything around here.
And I'm Kyle Wiltshire. I live in Hendersonville, Tennessee. I have married three kids. They are not quite the age of Jay's kids yet. So I'm watching him as he goes through all these steps to see how to do it. But yeah, man, we wrote a book together, and man, we're awfully excited to be here with you and kind of anxious about these questions that you know, they're
nah.
Nice. Well, I'll make them as difficult as I can, but if you guys want to tell the listeners just a little bit more about your book and, like, you know, the subject matter, I think it's kind of funny. Just tell them a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah. We wrote a book called The Dead Rock Stars. It's a fictional book, but it uses real people. So the elevator pitch kind of premise is, you know, imagine if a lot of your favorite famous dead rock stars who tragically passed away too soon, what if many of them actually faked their deaths to become secret agents, and they have been secretly protecting the world for decades. So that's kind of the premise of our story. It is, like you said, it's funny. It's a lot of fun. It's a kind of a nostalgia piece. It's set in 1999. We've just been really enjoying sharing it with other people, telling other people about it. It came out in November of last year. So it's really just came out. So we're really pumped to let people know about it, and hopefully, get people to read it and interact with us online and you know, just get this thing going. Yeah, we love it.
I'd say another cool aspect about it is it's the setting. It's set in 1999. So it's an alternative history in 1999. The DRS team is comprised of many, many famous people. Anybody that's passed away really before 1999 is helping try to save the world from this oncoming kind of doom for the whole world at the end of 1999. And so we have a lot of fun with the time setting. We have a lot of fun with the rock stars. It's just a ridiculous story that's meant to be fun.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I think when I read the thing, synopsis, the description of the book, I was like, oh, this is cool. And it was easy to kind of pull questions like related to this because of how much there is inside of that, but that's cool.
There are two worlds to this game/conversation.
Rule number one, you must always answer the question, no matter what. If you have no preference towards one or the other, you say the phrase, flip a coin, meaning that each choice is 50-50 to you and that one is neither worse or better than the other. But that rarely happens, so it may not get used. Rule number two, whoever asks the question doesn't have to answer it if they choose not to. These rules exist because as the questions become harder to answer, the rules become harder to follow.
Jay and Kyle, just want to remind you guys, if you have any different questions for me or variations of questions I've asked, this is a conversational podcast. Just let me know. Quick one more disclaimer to the listeners. Everything is hypothetical. If you are offended by this episode, at me. I probably won't respond, but you can do it. And it's perfectly fine. Lastly, Jay and Kyle, this is really the last thing. Is there anything you would like to ask or declare, or any inherent judgmental biases you know you may have?
I don't think so, man. I think we're ready to do this.
Let's have some fun, Houston.
Let's see the difference in our personalities. I'm the nervous, anxious one, and Jay's like, "Let's do it, man." I'm like, "Oh, what's he gonna ask me?" You know. So yeah, we're ready. Let's do it.
All right, cool. Here we go. Would you rather fight alien or fight predator?
All right, I'll jump on this one first, Jay. I think my answer would be alien, and here's why. When you compare, I haven't seen all the different movies, but I've seen the first one of each. Okay. When I look at myself versus Arnold Schwarzenegger and myself versus Ellen Ripley, I think, you know, Ellen Ripley, I don't remember what her job was on the ship, but she was just like, you know, just like a worker on the ship who's smart and outwitted the thing. And was able to survive. And I could rely more on being smart and outwitting like Ellen Ripley versus being a strong commando, you know, Green Beret dude like Schwarzenegger. So I'll say the alien.
So is it the alien from the Aliens movies, the Ridley Scott Aliens movies? Okay. Is that what we're talking about? Okay, cool. Cool. Okay.
Correct.
So you'll say, yes. What did you say, Kyle?
I said alien, because I could see myself more in Ellen Ripley than I can in Arnold Schwarzenegger. So
I would say for sure Predator. There's a lot of movies that have come out about the Predator. The Predator is obviously scary, but not only does Arnold Schwarzenegger kill one, but also this little American Indian girl, you know, in the woods in Prey, the most recent one that came out on Amazon Prime. I mean, she's clearly gifted. But we know things about them. We know the things that cause them issues. We know what's going on. And the aliens, man, that seems to be a moving, shape-shifting rule of what you're fighting and how it works and where they exist. And they seem to be virtually unkillable. They just keep coming back more and more and more. And the Predator is kind of a known thing. It's got a wristband. You know, you knock the wristband off, you're good to go, right?
I don't know. I mean, they're both top. One's the ultimate like animal. One's supposed to be the ultimate hunter. So I think that's why they're here. But I think I go with Predator. Maybe I like to fight him because I think the alien is tougher. Yeah, like Jay, like what you're saying, it's like in Prey, she's very cool, you know, with the trap she uses to take
him
down.
Awesome. That's a great movie.
Yeah. But, I don't think it's an easy win. Like, I don't think this is a slam dunk of one. Yeah. Cause like it, Predators underestimate Predator for a second. Like, he constantly fights, I think, Wolverine and fights, I think, Batman. I think there's Batman versus the Predator. I'm sure there is. Cause like he's a high level killer. So
are you saying that Predator is kind of like a Wolverine Batman?
Yeah, he's fought them in comics. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta go check that out. That's awesome.
Yeah, you know,
a big part of it is the environment. You know, when you think about it, like, I mean, again, I've not seen all the Predator movies. I've just seen the first one, and they're out in like the jungle. You know, so that gives the Predator the advantage. I think maybe Ellen had a better advantage in the tight little claustrophobic ship. You know, there wasn't many places to hide. You know, there wasn't as many, elements to deal with, you know, perhaps. So maybe, maybe the environment would help me maybe change my answer a little bit, but I'm still going to go with alien in my response.
I got to say,
the
like
one movie
logic.
I didn't, The one movie I didn't see was Alien versus Predator. Have you seen that? Houston, who won? Could you spoil it for us?
Wow, you haven't. Okay, listeners, if you don't want this, I don't know how old your old movie spoiled for you. Don't listen. Skip ahead by a couple, like a minute or whatever. I think the tagline is: "No matter who wins, we lose." No, wait, sorry, that's the tagline for Freddy versus Jason. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's same movie.
Same thing. Different question. Different episode. Who wins? Who freaking wins? Alien versus Predator. It's an awesome movie.
I'll have to check it out.
Oh crap! It's been such a long time. I think it's something where like the humans, we want like use Predator to kill the aliens, or like they kind of lead them to each other because they find out, oh, Predator's been hunting aliens for all these years, and there's a bunch of alien skulls around.
Yeah,
and like because Predators, that's like their favorite.
That's
it's
their the thing. Toughest.
It's the hardest prey to kill. So when you kill one, it's like, hey, trophy. And so they have they have like this. Monument.
Can you imagine a bunch of predators in the room being like, hey,
look at that guy. Like, yeah, like, oh, look at that loser. He doesn't have a skull. You know, like that's what they do to alien skulls. And I think they all, like, we blow something up. Like, with we people blow, we try to get them both. And I think one of them, like, at the end, like, when you see an alien, like, or I think it was a predator, like, at the end is like, I'm, you know, pushes his hand through where he's alive. One of those wink to the cameras of it's not over type of deals.
It never is.
Yeah, and we get to fight each other. It's I have to see the movie again. I know I had a good time. There was a lot of action, and there was a big explosion at the end. That's what I can say.
Yeah. Nice.
I'm in. Sure. Yeah. Cool. I don't know why I missed it.
No, it's a fun movie. All right, next one. Would you rather own a real-life USS Starship Enterprise ship or a real-life Millennium Falcon ship? And that's Star Trek and Star Wars.
Jay, I'm gonna let you go with this.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go. I think I'm gonna go with the Millennium Falcon. And here's why: I've seen all the Star Treks. I mean, all of them.
Okay. Trekkie.
There are approximately 1,700 Star Trek Enterprises that get blown up. I want to say, like every other episode, that Enterprise gets blown up. So I don't know if they're replacing the axle. I don't know if it's a a total experience or if like they got a new paint job. I don't know what's happening, and I don't trust space robots to go out there and fix things. The Millennium Falcon, it's made it through several decades. I mean, it's tried and true, and that thing can move. I mean, you know, the Castle Run and what. 12 parsecs, is that what it was?
Yes, like, it is.
I'm all about Millennium Falcon. Plus, I really love a good vest. And I feel like if you fly the Millennium Falcon, you get a good vest.
I mean, yeah, I guess they leave it on the seat. It's like Captain needs a vest.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. I answer far more practically. And I would say the Enterprise, and I'm not just doing the hottest take thing. You got to take the opposite. I'm sure at some point we'll agree, but I'd take the Enterprise because it's roomier. The Millennium Falcon's just tight little, small little ship. I've been in the thing at Disney. It's little, you know? So I need a little bit more elbow room, probably have your own room, your own ship.
And a holodeck.
And a holodeck. Hey, there you go. If you get
that's
one,
true.
One of the Picard versions.
So wait a second. Do we get the people that are on the Enterprise and the people on the Millennium Falcon, or is it where you're just getting the ship?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that because I wanted to talk about it. You guys get to like pick a crew. So people, because obviously both need people. I think the Millennium Falcon takes away less. You need like what, 4 or 5? But the Enterprise, you need to pick some people in your life. Let's say it's user friendly, but you need some semi-responsible / competent people, and you get to pick them.
Yeah.
Whether that means you go on Craigslist or you know some people, it's up to you. But it's up to you.
Okay. All right.
Oh, I mean, for me, number one, the first dude that's got to be on my Starship Enterprise is my dad, because the dude can fix anything. He is like a skilled negotiator kind of, he's always, kind to people, and he has good relationships with people. So I'm a little bit more quiet and closed off. He's more like the people person, so I got to have my dad sitting.
Your dad over Spock?
Well, if it's real life people, give me dad. He'd figure out how to fix one of those, hyperdrive coils or whatever.
More than Spock?
I mean, Spock will be on there eventually. I can have more than one person,
All right. That's good.
Who are you driving with, Jay?
Well, I was just thinking about it, and like space, the confines, all the things. Like, I'd have to have R2-D2 because that dude can do anything. I don't even know what I mean. Like, based on the Star Wars universe, he can literally do absolutely whatever he wants. I would probably pick Lando because Lando is down for a good time all the time, and he seems as though he can talk his way out of pretty much any situation. Now, can't really trust him, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Thirdly, definitely Chewbacca. I don't know about the hair situation. Like, I don't know about the filtration system on the Millennium Falcon. I don't know what's going to happen with, you know, the getting all that hair out of the place. But I mean, I guess you could carefully, you know, open up a space door and like suck everything out of it and clean it room by room wherever he's been. I don't know. And then lastly, I got to have a Jedi. So I'm going to pick Obi-Wan, like, for sure, because Obi-Wan is perpetually doing his own thing. And he is the best. So that's who I'd pick.
Okay. All Star Wars cast. I don't think the filtration system is good, by the way. I'm pretty sure it sucks in that thing. I'm not, look at it. I mean, look at, they called it rust bucket several times. Like, in the first Awakens, it has like literal dust comes off that thing, and there's dust in the chairs. Yeah. Like, the thing looks ancient. And like, it's the first movie when it's flying through space, it's a little figurine that they move in front of a black.
Yeah, no, yeah. But it's, I mean, also the Millennium Falcon. I'm just saying.
It has a brand. It's a space
pizza. It's a space pizza. It's awesome.
Space mint, according to Family Guy. Yeah, it looks like a mint. I think
it sat in the desert. Episode 7, it sat in the desert for who knows how long, and it cranked right up. So, I mean, it's dependable, at least, you know.
That's true. I got to say, also, I didn't hear you say C-3PO. I mean, I know we're like people, but if you're going all Star Wars, you didn't say C-3PO. And why not? What's up? What do you have
that
against?
Dude is super annoying. He's loud, and he doesn't even know how to dance like a robot. Like, it's awful. I can't stand watching him. I don't even like the fact that he exists. I don't know why he keeps showing back up. Like, I'd be fine if he just, like, fell off a, you know, space cliff somewhere and floated away, still talking to himself for the rest of eternity.
No, he's endearing.
I agree.
I would say Jar Jar.
No, don't say that. No,
C-3PO.
No. Okay. I'm thinking about, I got to get into the visual element of my podcast. I've been thinking a lot about it, in like, in terms of me, you know, adding the visual element. Uh-huh. And I need it for what you just said, so people can see you with your hands, because that was terrible. His hand above, his hand was above for Jar Jar and went down to 3PO. I'm going to put the visual in this. I think I gotta find it. I'm gonna get the software, because that's terrible.
Well, that's awful. I meant it as Jar Jar is the number one worst character in Star Wars. Maybe. I'd have to think about it. There could be worse ones.
I'd say yes. He's by far the worst, to me, at least, personally.
And then, you know, somewhere in the top four is C-3PO, for sure.
Oh, man. What about that one guy who sells Anakin in the prequels? He's blue, he has wings.
What's that dude's name?
Watto.
Watto.
Is it Watto? Yeah, he's top four.
Yeah, he sucks.
And Little Annie! I didn't like that guy.
And those two not Chinese Asians, those two not Asian aliens, there it is. That's what it was like. They're in the prequels too. Like, oh, we don't know what they're going to go on. Like, they're blue. Who's the Count Dooku going to kill? I don't know, whatever that was.
They set up the blockade. I can't remember what the Trade Federation or something like that. They were leadership. I don't remember what they were called, though.
They set the blockade up that Qui-Gon went through with our lightsaber and showed you how powerful that thing was. And then that was cool.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Or how hot it was, but that was cool. Yeah. I forgot the original question, guys.
Star Trek, or Millennium Falcon. Enterprise or Falcon.
That's right. I pick.
We're naming our crew. Yeah.
That's right. For the record, I pick Millennium Falcon. And I love your answers, Kyle, and I completely agree with them. The holodeck is a giant selling point, but in everything I've seen, like Star Trek related, which I've seen the original series and the movies, I've missed the in between, which I know there's a lot in there, you know.
There's a lot
and I respect it all, but I'm more of a Star Wars guy. And the big selling point, the biggest, is the fact that Millennium Falcon goes it could go to the surface, and whereas Star Trek, like, that giant thing sits in space and you have to beam down or take some type of little ship. And while that's cool, like, it also, like, will it go into an orbit and, like, beaming, I don't know, the whole beam me down thing is a little untrustworthy. And not to sound like Jay here, suspicious, but I don't know. I'd rather physically land to the planet and then leave versus beam down or beam up. And what if something gets messed up? I don't know. That's happened a couple times. Yeah, I think that's it. That's the only reason.
To Kyle's point, though, I mean, the Enterprise has like shuttle pods that take you down to the Earth. And so you can do that almost like you've got a convertible inside your, you know, your giant SUV or something like that. Or your 18 wheeler's got a, like Knight Rider, your 18 wheeler's got a kit car that's going to drop out the back of it. You got shuttle pods. The beaming thing, I didn't really think about. I'm kind of waffling. Millennium Falcon for the cool factor is kind of where I'm at, but Star Trek's a good choice.
I have a strong suspicion, Houston, that you have no idea what Knight Rider is. Am I right on that, or do you know what Knight Rider is?
Oh, I know what Knight Rider is.
Oh, okay. All right, good for you. Good for you. Right. You're a young man, so I didn't know if know if that was on your radar.
I'm a young nerdy person. No, I know what Knight Rider is. I think it was Kit. Is his name Kit? Yeah, Kit. He drives at the talking car, pretty much, or one of the first cool talking cars on TV that we have. Because there's plenty more that come.
And that's how Hasselhoff was introduced into the world. The legend that is David Hasselhoff.
Kyle has a unique love for David Hasselhoff.
Actually, this is a weird story. My love, quote unquote, for Hasselhoff, I knew who he was through the SpongeBob SquarePants movie, the first one. I don't know if you guys have seen that, and I don't know how much that dates me, but I was a kid, and there's a scene in SpongeBob, a famous scene that I had, if everyone, I think, around my age remembers, where SpongeBob's on the beach, and he has to get back to Bikini Bottom, and he's like, how are we going to get back? And David Hasselhoff, the actor, walks up and says, I'll give you a ride back, because he was in that beach, the slow motion beach, Baywatch?
I think Baywatch. Yeah.
Because he walks up and he's like, you're like, who are you? I'm David Hasselhoff. That's exactly how he delivers the line. That's how he says it. And that's what he says. And I thought that was a funny name. My mom told me, like, hey, he's real. He was from this show called Baywatch. I said, oh, cool. Not knowing it, but just like, cool, registered. There it is. And then they ride his back like a boat. And he goes to the middle of the ocean where Bikini Bottom is. And he's so helpful, and even shoots him down to the bottom of the. It's anyway, for those who've seen SpongeBob the movie, this is a very cool part, and he's a very cool guy for that. And then that's my introduction to him. So I really do actually love David Hasselhoff. That was my intro.
We were of a generation where we pretty much missed SpongeBob altogether, and our kids maybe are a little too young, or maybe it was still around, but my kids didn't watch it, so. Yeah, I kind of miss SpongeBob altogether. I know who he is. You know, I've been in a minor league baseball park and hear, oh, who lives in a pineapple under the sea? And then the entire crowd just starts screaming it, you know. So I know it, but I don't know it.
Arguably the best, and I'll say arguably, but one of the best children's shows of all time. And I'm not even overrating it. SpongeBob, it came out in 1999. And yeah, it was like the edge of the 90s. So it's considered
just like our book. Just like our book, 1999.
there we go. All right, cool. We'll move on to the next question. How much influence does movies and music have on your life, would you say?
I think it's my turn, so I will I'll go with this one, let you think, Jay. I would say music and movies are something that I deeply enjoy, like deeply enjoy. I literally am the kid who, when I asked to listen to music when I was a kid, my parents, you know, would get all, you know, concerned about what are the lyrics? I'm like, I don't listen to the lyrics. It's about the music and the way it makes me feel. Like, I genuinely mean that, you know, if a song moves me, you know, and it's got great lyrics, that's great. But I listen to the music first. So for an emotional level, music, you know, music moves me. Same with movies. I love to be moved by a movie, but I don't like to be wrecked by a movie, you know? So like for the last, I don't know, probably 10 years or so, I've tried to avoid movies that I know are just going to wreck me, you know, like emotionally. You know, I like to enjoy them and like, oh, that's fun. I like to have a good time with a movie. I don't want to, like, you know, be a blubbering mess, you know, as a result of the movie. That said, you know, I mean, apart from like deeply enjoying a movie and music, it doesn't make or break my day. You know, it's not like what I build my life on, obviously. It's a huge enjoyment factor. And I'd say a hobby as well, something that I enjoy to keep up with movies more so than music, but enjoy to keep up with the new movies and, you know, that sort of thing. So I don't know if that really answers your question. It's important to me, but it's not like the most important thing, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, more than answers. Yeah, it's great.
For me, the story is everything. I love a great story. I love a wonderful journey that I get to go on, some kind of thing. If it's a song that does that, if it's a TV show, if it's movies, I'm just in. Like, I love to be whisked away to a different place. And I love to kind of imagine that world. When I was little, you know, it was the world of G.I. Joes and He-Man and Star Wars and action figures. I mean, I was like the Transformers, all those things. And I had a sandbox back in the backyard, and I got to create my own Tatooine. I got to create my own battlefield. I got to create whatever was out there. And so this is probably not new for younger people, but for me, that concept of a movie into merchandise really kind of affected me as a young child, where I needed to have the Millennium Falcon. Like, I had the Millennium Falcon. I never had the Enterprise. I don't even know if they made one like that. I had the Millennium Falcon, and I got to put Han in the seat. And, you know, with songs, for us, it was collecting the tapes or collecting the CDs. And so we had huge sleeves of CDs, and we could kind of go out to our Bible of CDs and flip through them, and your mood kind of dictated what went in there. And, you know, being able to have all that and even making your own mixes and then being able to share it with people was kind of a special, intimate thing. And I just loved listening to music, and I love sharing music. I love talking about movies and TVs. When I was 3 or 4, I think, I got invited over to the neighbor's house for dinner, and I was sitting at the dinner table. And apparently when they brought me back home, my mom asked them, how'd dinner go? Did he behave? And they said, oh yes, Jay was wonderful. He told us the entire plot of 3 TV shows he watched. And so I sat there and explained to them TV shows at 3 or 4. So it's very huge into kind of who I am. And it's a big part of a hobby for me, for sure. Like, I can't get enough of any of those mediums.
Yeah, man. If you had to pick, are you more of a music or movie person? Like, which one, if you had to cut one off, would you save?
Gosh, that is hard.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Thankfully, don't have to make this choice, but I think I would say I'll keep movies, because there's music in movies. You know, there's no movies in music.
Yeah.
So I would keep movies.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I was going to say
code.
That too.
It's a cheat code.
Cheat code.
You broke the quit. You found the secret lock. You picked it. There's the. Sometimes, though, like you said, Jay, music does transport you places, or it tells a story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was the best type of music, I think. Even instrumental can kind of sometimes like weave a story, which is, like, I think Indiana Jones and Superman have two great themes, in that they kind of just, you hear them and they're synonymous with the film. Like, it's you can't think of anything else. It's like it's telling the story. I think John Williams, actually, for all pretty much every movie he does, like, tailors his music to whatever movie that is and makes it instrumental to the film's success. And that type of music, even without words, tells a story.
It moves you. And I don't know how familiar either of you are, but country music is one of the best storytelling kind of worlds. I don't really listen to country music today, but when I was growing up, like, you know, the stories that they would tell were fascinating. I you know, Dolly Parton's Jolene is one of those stories that you don't know what to do with it when you listen to it. And I was watching a clip. I got like transfixed watching this clip the other day on social media, where a guy, a gentleman was watching Charlie Daniels perform "The Devil Went Down to Georgia." It's the first time he'd ever heard it. And I think his background was rap music. And so, I mean, that's kind of how he got his platform. And so he was sitting there listening to "The Devil Went Down to Georgia," and he'd never heard it before. And it was so amazing to watch him take it in, pause it, talk about it, and get excited about it. And, you know, for a song that was, how old is that? 40 years old? 50 years old? How old is that song? I don't know.
Probably 50. Yeah.
The stories that get told, a little bit of a lost art. You know, some of the newer stuff tells stories, but not as much.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's and the Devil Down in Georgia is, yeah, that I remember listening to the words of that song too for the first time, and I was like, what? This is a creepy, cool song.
Yeah,
it's creepy. It's cool. The music's like haunting, and yeah. Like, the devil's voice is all like, I can't even do the devil's voice. And it's yeah, no, that's a great example.
Real talk, though, yeah. I always thought the devil was better. Like, his solo was better. I know that's like horrible. You can't side with the devil. But when I listen to that song, I'm like, I think I like the devil solo better than Johnny's. I don't know anything about playing a fiddle. It may be much, much harder technically. But I'm like, I think the devil solo is kind of cooler.
I think the bass line made that cooler. I watched it live and the bass guy was doing that. And I think he made it cooler. But when they got into Fire on the Mountain, Run Boy Run, like, they got after it. And so it was a little clearer in the live version, which
it could be
going back to the original question. That's where a movie might be more powerful than music, because in a movie, you can watch somebody play music.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. That visual element, man. Well, guys, I'm going to move on. I loved your answer to that. That's awesome. This next one is completely out of the left field. I don't know if you guys have seen Wonka, the movie that just came out. All right.
I'm not.
You're not missing too much. It's good, but it's for a younger audience. It's for kids.
My 15-year-old liked it. My 15-year-old son liked it. Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah. No, it's a well-made film, just not one I'm going to return to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you guys rather own a Willy Wonka-like chocolate factory or own Syndrome's Island from The Incredibles, all tech included? I'm assuming you guys have seen The Incredibles. I'm just assuming that with the question. Okay, cool.
It's my favorite Pixar movie, The Incredibles.
Oh, cool.
Jay, it's your turn.
Yeah. Yeah. Syndrome's Island, or what was the other option?
A Willy Wonka chocolate factory.
Yeah. What's interesting about this question is both places have a certain amount of mystery and magic. Syndrome seems to be able to do whatever he wants there, create whatever he wants, and has unlimited resources. But Willy Wonka has Oompa Loompas. I don't know what they do. I don't know where they... Now, I've seen the first two, Charlie and Chocolate Factory and Willy Wonka. My daughter loved Johnny Depp in that movie, couldn't get enough of it. And I was like, that's a weirdo. That's a weirdo. But she was all about it. And I watched the original one, and my family went and saw Wonka, but I didn't make it. So I don't know how much they spent time explaining the Oompa Loompas in this movie, but the Oompa Loompas have a lot of mystery too. And Wonka seems to have a little bit more hopefulness, a little bit more optimism in his world, where a Syndrome Island might cause you to go mad. Like, it might cause you to kind of actually want to become your own, you know, evil bad guy, you know, who's trying to beat Frozone and all the other guys. And so I think I'd go with Willy Wonka, just because, one, I love to create. I love to do crazy things. And two, I'd be all about some Oompa Loompa life. I don't know exactly how that would work or what that'd do, but I feel like they'd be great collaborators. And I'd like to make the world a little happier by eating candy that's going to rot their teeth out.
Wow, man.
All right.
You and I are really on different wavelengths today. I would definitely, I don't have to think twice about it. Give me Syndrome's Island. Very practical reason for me, actually, is because, you know, my wife has always wanted to go to the beach. And I'm like, that costs money. If I owned a beach, I mean, I'd be set for forever, you know. Okay. Hey, we own one. Just, you can go down there and hang out, you know, whenever you want, for as long as you want.
But also, Kyle,
it's ours.
Also, Kyle, if you had the Wonka factory, you have a flying elevator that can take you literally anywhere you want to go.
Well, that's kind of creepy. Seriously, truly, I always thought that Willy Wonka was so weird and creepy. Like the old one from the 70s with Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
My friends loved that movie growing up, and I hated it. I was like, I hate it. Why are we watching this again? Yeah.
Roald Dahl is a trip, man.
It's creepy.
Everybody pretty much dies, right, in that first one? Or do they we don't know that they actually get out, do they?
I don't know if they die, but they go through horrific things. You know, the girl gets sucked up in the, or the girl becomes a blueberry, and one boy gets sucked up in the chocolate fountain thing. And, you know, I mean, like they all go through horrific, terrible, terrible things. So yeah, I don't want any part of that. And you know, all the tech on Syndrome's Island, you know, there's probably some cool stuff there that, you know, give me my moral compass, you know, and Syndrome's Island, and I think I could do some good with that.
I also think, though, some of it deals with your personality a little bit. I mean, you wouldn't mind being alone quite a bit. Like, you had the people you love close by and nobody else, that'd be great for you.
It's true. It's true.
Man, that's cool. I like you guys' answer. I like how you both think the other, by the way, because I really do see the benefit to both. I love chocolate. I love candy. Who doesn't? So it's an easy win, lifetime of candy. Great friends with Oompa Loompas around you, / companions, coworkers, whatever. And then you get to give back to the community with candy. It makes you money, and it seems like a really chill place to live. At least, I don't know about the original 1960s one. I mean, I've seen it, but I don't know how that place would be to live. I mean, we still use office, and it's kind of fairly small for how big that place is. But in the Johnny Depp one, it seems like you can actually live there. And in this new one, it seems again that you can live there. I'll spoiler alert, the factory doesn't show up to the very end. It's about Wonka and it's an origin story. So that factory doesn't show up until like, it's for 2 seconds. So you barely see it. But, and yeah, it's a good choice. And Syndrome's Island, if you have all those resources, yeah, it's an island. You can invite people on and off, but you're never going to be truly around people unless you leave it, which you can, but you live at that island. So, I like it. I don't even know which one I pick. I think I go more with Kyle on this one because of how rich Syndrome is and the resources. Like, selling tech seems easy, and if I really want candy, I can just buy it. Maybe this says something about my personality, like you mentioned, Jay, but going there and having people I want come in, like, I want to throw a party today on my private island. You know, I think I will throw a party today on my private island. And I'll invite, I'll keep it light, maybe 150 people, because my island can handle it. And I'll just fly them in, and they'll come in. I mean, granted, you could throw a pretty awesome one at Willy Wonka's factory too. So I pick island. It's just more chill, and I'd rather have regular crew working things than the Oompa Loompas. They are mysterious, and I don't, even in this new movie, you don't really get it. They show you an island. Oompa Loompa Island, and it still doesn't make any sense. So you still don't get it. By the way, this Oompa Loompa in this new one is Hubert Grant.
Hugh Grant,
which is a crazy choice, but he works. And
that's funny.
Well, my family's my daughters are Chalamet fans. They didn't mind seeing him sing and dance, but they did say the songs weren't very memorable. They didn't come home thinking of any of the songs, and so. That's a bad thing when you got a little bit of a musical.
That's a good point.
Yeah, good I think point. One of them was stuck in my head, at least for a day. I can't remember them now, but it was all right. Chalamet did a pretty good job. Dune 2 is coming out. Yeah.
Yeah, so Chalamet's taking over the world, man. That guy's everywhere you turn. He's showing up.
Oh, yeah.
He's a big deal.
He's on the rise. He was at the end of The Eternals, or no, that was a different guy. That was Harry Styles. Sorry.
Yeah, Harry Styles. Yeah.
Harry Styles. Yeah, the movie was awful. Next question.
Amen.
Would you rather? We're getting towards the end here, but I really want to know you guys' answer to these freaking questions. Would you rather have a hoverboard, Back to the Future hoverboard, that works, or have a T-100 protecting you, the original Arnold version? And the only caveat with Arnold is that he's not going to let you really leave his sight, but otherwise he can, like, he'll be around.
Ooh, man, that's a tough one. And if I were a younger man, like I were 15 or 17 or whatever, I probably would have said hoverboard. But I think at this point, I think I'd say the T 1000. Did you say T 1000 or T 800? Which one did you say?
I think he's a he's isn't he is he 800? I thought 100. I guess he isn't.
In the first one, that 1984 Terminator, I think it's the T 800, and then in the second one, he's the T 1000. Or is
He's
that
the liquid one.
the liquid one's the T 1000, I think. I think the liquid one's the T
You're
1000.
right. T1000 is liquid. I think T800 is term is Arnold. So I'm sorry.
Yeah.
T800. Yeah.
I would definitely take Arnold, and at this stage, Arnold's come up twice now. But again, kind of goes along with my answer for who I want on the Enterprise with me, and my dad, because he could fix stuff. I saw Terminator 2, and I saw Arnold fix that car, no problem. And I got some cars that need fixing right now. I got some issues in my house that need fixing. So yeah, I know he's always hanging around and stuff, but yeah, I think I could put him to work, and I don't need him to defend me so much anymore. I'm not John Connor. I'm not the leader of the free world after after Cyberdyne, becomes self-aware, but it'd be good to have someone around who could help me fix stuff. And I could also have Arnold or whatever his name is, Terminator, go outside and watch my kids for me. Let me go do something else while they go outside and play a little bit. So yeah,
I don't think
that'd be
that's
my answer.
accurate. I think he won't leave your side. I don't think he cares about your kids.
It's kind of true. Like, he'll
In
do a
fact,
little favor or whatever, but he has to be, it's
he's
you.
got to be with you. In fact, if your kid comes up and punches you in the nuts, he's going to kill that kid.
He's learning model though. He learned in Terminator 2.
So you're
I'll
willing to
watch that car.
sacrifice one kid for the purpose
Oh,
of
wait.
education?
He
He
is a
lets
learning
someone.
model.
Wait. I gotta interject. He will let people get hurt, because I mean, in Terminator 2, he lets I think Dyson, like, he breaks Dyson. He's like, well, don't kill him, and he has to listen to John Connor, and he like
That's
breaks his
right.
arm or breaks his hand. He's like, what'd you do that for? He's like, yeah, he will live,
Yeah,
like
you
he'll be
live.
okay. Yeah. So if you get hit in the dust by your kid, if it's not life threatening, like he might let you, he might let you incur some damage from your own kids, because
Yeah.
yeah, he's a
He's a
smart
learning
model.
model. I could teach him. I could
I
teach
don't
him what
know.
I
He'd be
need.
like, Hasta la vista, Noah.
I'll be back.
Nice.
Jay, I'm curious, especially with
Yeah.
your recent incident. I'm curious
Yeah,
how you would answer this one.
I fell off a skateboard recently and broke my wrist.
Sorry
I'm
to
on.
laugh.
No, it was funny. One of my daughters was recording it. In fact, I did really well the first time, did really well the second time, it came back. I was like killing it, I was gleaming the cube, I was doing everything, and I turned around and I'm like, hey, film it. And of course she pulls out her phone, she starts recording, and the board slips right out from underneath me and bang on the pavement. That being said, I don't want a death machine following me around. I got no interest in a death machine following me around. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the collateral damage is. I don't know what insurance I'm going to have to pay for because of this guy. How many doors is he going to bust off? How many walls is he walking through? He doesn't know how to park a car. Like, he parks cars in buildings. I'm not interested in that life. A hoverboard, however, I'm trying to think. Michael J. Fox, Marty McFly. The Nike shoes, did they magnetically lock on the hoverboard? Seems like he did. He flip? Was he upside down one point?
He was, I
There's like some
think.
suction cup type thing, or like, or air type thing when he put his feet on the board. They played a little sound effect. He like it. Yeah.
So, if the board can't go out from underneath my feet, yeah, let's go. Let's hoverboard everywhere. And it's not, we're not hitting any cracks in the pavement. There's no rocks, there's no debris. It's a hoverboard. All movies have figured out some way to make everything that's mechanical or electrical have some type of eternal battery. And so I'm cool with that too. We'll hop on that thing. I don't have to pay for gas. I can kind of, you know, have the scene go where I want to go. I could float that thing over water if I wanted to. I could do anything with it. It would be pretty awesome. And zero risk of falling off. So hoverboard.
I guess. It doesn't work over water, though. You know, like they say that one line, like, oh, you know, hoverboards don't work over water. You need power. They say it's super weird, but it doesn't work over water.
That seems like a silly movie rule. The new T-9000 hoverboard does work over water.
All right. Okay. Oh, man. That's funny, though. I mean, I agree with Kyle, though, to pick, because a Terminator, he's more useful than just a bodyguard, which would be cool. But, you know, if I need to fix a car, or, hey, hold this. I don't know. Help me. If I have to take something up the stairs and it's heavy, I don't know. It's nice to have another, just a person. Like, who's that?
Open the pickle jar. Yeah, open the pickle jar. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Who's that guy? He's my personal assistant. You know, and Arnold's not going to object. Like if I say, oh, he's my butler or my secretary, it doesn't matter what I say. Arnold doesn't care.
Why does your personal assistant have a shotgun? Is the question that most people would ask, I think.
Arnold put the gun down. Like, I told him, like, oh, I'm sorry. He's holding it? And I'll turn around, like, Arnold. Like, what are you doing?
In the backpack, buddy. In the backpack.
We talked about this. Like, he's not learning fast enough. Like, you know, we'll get over that. That's just a glitch. Like, yeah, he'll leave the gun in the car. He'll get used to it. We'll change clothes. We'll dress him up. He makes me seem important by association with, oh, that guy has a big dude behind him. You know, he's just there.
And that motorcycle, man. Oh, how cool would that be? Just to ride around on that thing.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. But yeah. That chopper.
Nice. But,
yeah. All right. Yeah. All right, guys. Last question here, just because of time. But would you rather be able to fast forward, pause, and rewind time, and you can travel through it freely? Sort of like the movie Click, and you have like Back to the Future rules here. So if you change something in the past, you will see the effects of it in the future. And whether or not that's creating alternate universes, you don't really know. Or be able to travel to different realities at whim, at will. Sort of like America Chavez, but without the giant star that sucks everything. Sort of like, more like Invincible, if you guys are watching that series, which is a great show. That's a binge-worthy. It's more like where like a little portal opens up. You can take things through it, but it's not a destructive, sucky star force. It's just you can go to any reality and you have a bit of control, maybe not the most, but decent control of which one you're going to.
Your turn, Jay.
Oof. I mean, initially when I first heard this, I thought the rewind fast forward thing would be great, but I didn't really think about the butterfly effect. I felt like the Infinity Wars kind of took away that, but you laid that out there for me. And so I'm thinking about time travel that isn't explained by Bruce Banner and whatever Dr. Strange's lady friend was, bald-headed lady friend. I can't think of her name right now. Tilda Swinton.
No, you're thinking of
the one before time. The one.
The ancient one.
The ancient one.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, Back to the Future rules.
Yeah, I think I would probably go with alternate realities. I think that Spider-Verse type things, you know, where you got all the different Spider-Men, the Porky the Pig Spider-Man, the the Noir Spider-Man, all the different Spider-Mans. Like, I think it'd be pretty fun to go to different worlds and just see what the possibilities are. It seems to be pretty endless, and if you can go at whim and you're not really causing any damage, that would be a really cool party trick. Can you take other people with you?
Yes, you can. Things and objects.
Yeah, because you said things and objects. I was just curious about people.
Sure. Yeah. As long as it's habitable, you'll be okay. Which you have some control over it, so you won't accidentally walk into like a whatever.
And if you meet yourself in the Back to the Future scenario, is that a problem? I can't remember.
Doc said it was catastrophic implications if you meet yourself.
Yeah. Well, what's her face? His wife does meet herself and she faints.
She passed out. That's true.
And there's no real implication of that. I mean, I guess if they hung out, something bad would have happened, but seeing each other wasn't a bit too big of an issue in the long run.
Yeah, I'm going to go with alternate realities just simply for the sake of this conversation, I feel like with the other one, there's too many moral implications that I don't know that I could handle. I think I would be rich and then everything would mess up just like Back to the Future. And then you go back to fixing it and then you're back at this place. And it just seems like there'd be so much monkeying around that I would just ruin everything. I don't have the self-control to do it right. And so I think going and visiting alternate realities is great. You can go there. You can, you know, pretty much do whatever you want in those alternate realities and then flip back to another one. Like you can do good. You can do bad. You can do indifferent. You can just go watch. You can watch the crazy. It's like the ultimate people watching experience at the mall, just different universes. Like, I think I would probably do that. I'd enjoy that.
Well, I love that answer. I don't agree, but I love that answer.
All right. I am going to fly my nerdy geek flag as high as I've ever flown it in public. And I'm going to reveal something that not many people know about me. And this will answer my question. So one of my secret hobbies that I, you know, picked up during COVID, because you're sitting around the house, nothing to do, I rediscovered my 1970s, 1980s Star Wars figure collection. Okay. And I had so much fun, like looking at those figures and like thinking about how much joy they brought me as a child, that I thought, I'm going to get them all. I'm going to collect them all. And so I started going on eBay during COVID, buying up the figures I didn't have. So to the point that I've got them all but one now, and it's like $900 on eBay. And I'm like, I can't afford that, you know, until the Dead Rockstar takes off. I can't afford it.
What is it?
So it's one they only made in like Canada. It's called Yak Face. Look it up on eBay. They're like, he was an obscure no line character in the background in Jabba's palace. Like you see him on maybe like two or three like quick cuts in Return of the Jedi. Yeah, and like they're just ridiculously expensive. And I'm like, until I, you know, come into some, you know, dead uncle leaves me millions of dollars or whatever, like not gonna probably be able to get that one. Anyway, all that to say, I have thought about what would I do if I could go back in time with enough money. It wouldn't take much money by today's standards to go back and buy them all up, buy every single one of them. How would I preserve them? How would I get them to my future self? So what I'd have to do is I'd have to research storage facilities that were open in 1985 that are still open in 2024. And I would need to rent a storage facility, pay enough in advance to pay for it for all those years. Then I'd go out and buy every single vintage Star Wars thing I could find, put it in that storage facility, then go back and then go open it up. And I'd have everything that I've ever wanted when it comes to that stuff. So that is my absolutely fly that geek flag as high as you can fly it answer to that question. Give me the ability to go back in time so I can buy up all my Star Wars toys.
I don't even know what to do with that. Like I don't know what to say. Houston, do you have words for him?
I wish you could see him right now. The look on his face, Houston, is so disappointed. He's like, why did I ask this guy on my podcast?
That was your all time in space. I really like to get Yak Face. Like Yak Face would be the one. You don't want to be awesome. President. You don't want to, you know, win bets or do anything that's going to make you like a jillionaire. You don't even go and like correct something that you did that was like a mistake in your past. Like you got a 4-inch action, a 3.75-inch action figure.
That's right.
Named Yak Face.
Amen.
There he is. There he is.
I know. I've got him pulled up right now. You can get loose complete Yak Face for $270 right now, Kyle. But
that's an auction. That's an auction. It'll go up. I've watched them. I followed
them. Reopen in the case. It's buy it now at $2,500. The rare one with the coin medallion or whatever, that's like almost $7,300.
Yep.
I'm just here to tell you that's still not worth it. It's not a thing. Like that is not the thing you should go after.
Hey, you love what you love.
Yeah.
Believe it. I can't believe it. That is the nerdiest thing I maybe ever heard in this podcast for sure, and maybe in life. I don't know.
I was gonna go with, well, I'm pretty sure that the T-800 is the one that Arnold Schwarzenegger was, and so like you beat that by a mile. Crushed it.
Hey, I love it.
Oh
I love
my,
it.
oh my God. This is what do you where you start with that? It just there's like yeah, it's like sports betting to the nerdiest, most circle all about round degree. Like it's you're cheating the system, but in the it just it's so personal. It's so
I love it.
I
I
don't
love
know.
it.
You can control space and time, or well, time. You can control time. And you can pause it and fast forward and do all these things, and you your first action is to go and give yourself a toy to invest for your own money and nerd pleasure.
I
I don't
didn't even
know.
get as deep as I really want to. And what I would do is I would buy one that I keep in the package, one that I would open up. So I have to buy two of every single thing that I want. So I'm thinking if I went back with about 5 grand, I think I'd do it really easily. Now the storage facility that I have to store all that in, I don't know how much that's going to cost.
You're
That might
thinking too
cost a
small,
lot.
buddy. You need to buy like five of each of them and have one to play with, one to keep, and then
You're
three to sell, and then
one
you'll
to
be rich.
rich. You're thinking way too small. Go to the manufacturer or wherever they sell them. Just drive up to the place back in 1980, whatever. Pause time. Go in there, grab it, and then unpause time. You have it. You take one off the manufacturing line. If they're 7, 10, or 100, it doesn't matter. Just it. You
Take a
know,
selfie with Lucas when he's looking at him, for
this
goodness
may
sake.
this may not be moral, but it's there. It's easy. You have the path, and you're like, oh no, I buy the
I go
storage.
buy a Star Wars character,
I
just
would do
one.
it.
Maybe one to play with, one to keep.
I'd bring the rules of space-time just to play with it. Yeah.
That's right, dude. I mean, there's still
Oh
going to be
man.
butterfly effect from that, but it's not going to be as it's not going to I'm guessing not going to be as devastating as, I go back to 1989 or whatever and tell the girl that I really liked her, and I don't know what that would do to my life,
Yeah, I'd probably do a lot or something.
that'd do a
Maybe
lot.
nothing. Who knows? Yeah, I'm saying like, gotcha. I
So
gotcha.
yeah, that keeps it pretty simple. And brings me a whole lot of joy, a whole lot of joy. The other thing I was going to say is you have the ability, you don't have to use it, you don't have to use it. You can just pass. You say, I can do this, but I'm not
Yes.
going to, So that's also what you go to alternate dimensions, man. What if you find one that you'd rather be in, man? What kind of moral quandary would that put you in? Like, I want to stay here and abandon what's real, and go live in this other place. That'd be hard.
Yeah, that's I agree with you, Kyle. I well, not with your reasoning, but why you picked, but your answer. I just wouldn't use the time travel function. I would just pause, probably maybe a little bit fast forward rewind because, Click in the movie with Adam Sandler kind of did that pretty well. I mean, he started skipping automatically, which sucks. And so just none of that garbage. But if I can just pause and play is all you really need to have a really to have a giant impact with no butterfly effects. Because then nothing's going to happen. Everything's going forward, and you can manipulate things. And fast forward every now and then is good. Rewind every now and then is good. Relive a moment that happened. Don't go back too far. I think I just keep it within my lifetime, and I would only go back further than I need to for like extreme circumstances, maybe, and risk the butterfly effect for those purposes. But that's about it because money is assured, victory is assured, and I'm still, as long as I police myself, I can use it. And going to different realities, I think Rick and Morty have done this too, like the show, but they saw other dimensions where they were happier and they look at how crappy they have it. And if you can just move to those dimensions and like replace yourself in that dimension, or even if you just people watch someone like you in a different dimension or something like, oh, this is really cool, leaving. Comparing yourself or inserting yourself in dimensions like that's not naturally yours, I feel like would just mentally be, and even if you don't act on it would mentally be kind of taxing. Or even seeing something that's worse than yours, like, oh, there's this reality is always in apocalypse mode or something like that, or oh, slavery is still active here, like everywhere, like oh, this world's really off. Well, next one, like it's just knowing what it's out there, good or bad, would just kind of mess with me, like just knowing that it's there. So I wouldn't want to pick it. I mean, it's a great power. I'd take it over nothing for sure. It's awesome. But that's why I picked the one I pick, not just to buy a Star Wars figure.
Hey man, I'm not ashamed of it. not ashamed.
Hey, don't be ashamed, but oh, I'm gonna judge, but don't be ashamed.
Definitely gonna make fun of you later.
I'm happy you're happy. I'm
Houston and I are gonna have a conversation about you later, Kyle.
No, oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
No, man, it's cool. I got no problem with it. I love it. It's fun. It's one of the great things that kind of makes our book a little bit more interesting is Kyle's attention to detail when it comes to things like that. 1999, Rockstar related, like there's all the Easter eggs and all the things. Actually, we talk about Star Trek. We talk about Star Wars. We have movie quotes. We have all kinds of different things in there. Like it's a pop culture treasure trove. And so his nerdiness has really helped the fun factor in our book.
Helped our efforts.
Awesome. By the way, I didn't want to say this. I thought the Dead Rock Stars is like, it's a really poppy name. What's the opposite of the word cacophony? It's really fun to say the Dead Rock Stars. I don't know, something about it. It kind of rolls off the tongue pretty well. Like it's fun to say, just for the record. Thought I put that out there.
Yeah. Thank you.
I got to find a way to keep, I have to keep the visual in with this episode. Cause this is, it's like you guys both have big, great backdrops. I mean, with the Dead Rock Stars and then also the whole Batman quote back there. I've read it like twice. I'm like, that's funny. And then the Thanos glove. I gotta keep the visual in this thing. And Jay, I don't know if anyone's told you this, but you also look like George Clooney. Maybe I'm sure you've gotten that right.
When I was much younger and skinnier, yes, the salt and pepper gets me there for sure.
Yeah. You look like George. And this whole time it's been distracting. Like I gotta tell him at some point, man. But yeah, we're going to end it there. Thank you guys so much for being on. I want to hand over the spotlight to you. Is there anything you want to plug or just tell the listeners in general?
Yeah, you can find our book anywhere books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. We also have a website, deadrockstarsbook.com. You can get autographed first edition copies of it. We'd love to hook you up with one of those. So yeah, check us out. Engage with us on the socials, the Dead Rock Stars book at Facebook, the DRS book at Instagram, and DRS book on Twitter, which Houston said sucks, and it kind of does, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Would you say it Twixter? Do Twixter? Are we Twitter X? What are we doing?
I just still call it Twitter. Everybody knows what you mean when you say it.
I'll just say this. If you had fun listening to this podcast, Houston, this is a great podcast. Thank you for having us. If you had fun on this, this is not that dissimilar than what our book is like. It's a lot of fun. And if you're looking for a weekend to laugh and enjoy and think about an alternative history fiction book that's just so much fun, a little bit of a mix between Men in Black and The Kingsman, this is for you. So you're going to love it.
Awesome. Cool. It's been awesome, you know, chatting pop culture with you guys. This has been fun. Thank you, listeners of 1,000 Crazy Questions, for tuning in this episode. Let me know in the comments on the website or Instagram. That's 1000 Crazy Questions on Instagram. What you think. Go to all those places, Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It helps a lot when you rate. Please share this with your friends. Share this with your enemies. And everyone, stay safe. As always, follow my music producer D800, D-800, at BeatStars or SoundCloud.com.